During the Lenten season, we've been reflecting on a message series of Give Up Worry for Lent. And a reminder that the reason why it's so important for us to give our worries, all those ways we can experience different anxieties or stresses, over to God, is because if we don't transmit those things to God, we will transmit them to someone else. And a lot of the various sins and pains and sufferings that we experience, or that unfortunately we pass on to others, come from those moments and places where we don't give our worries, our stresses, our anxieties over to God. So important for us to do that to avoid unnecessary pain and suffering for others and for ourselves as well. And this weekend, we're reflecting on a particular message of the good and the evil. We all know that those two forces exist, and we can have a daily battle with it. We all have those moments when we face those various temptations. Sometimes we listen to God's voice. Sometimes, unfortunately, we listen to the other guy's voice, to the voice of the evil one instead. And it's something that we can wrestle with in different ways. In the first reading, we hear of the Ten Commandments. And I think sometimes the Ten Commandments can be misunderstood. The Ten Commandments, I think, sometimes can be portrayed or understood by some people as, oh, these are all the things that keep me from fun stuff. In fact, the evil one sometimes likes to portray that lie, that bad is fun and good is no fun. There's this way sometimes, even if you see movies or different things in social media, you can see this current that comes out in different ways. And while it's true that things that are not good for us, that are evil, can bring fleeting pleasures or fleeting moments of happiness, they don't endure. In fact, when one studies the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola, it's very interesting that that's what helped him to truly have a conversion experience in his life, is he realized that when he focused on worldly pleasures, they would bring him a delight, but it was a temporary one. It didn't endure. It didn't really last. It didn't bring him the peace and that deeper sense of what he was seeking. But as he grew in the spiritual life, he noticed that was different. That when he took those moments with God, he would experience a peace that endured, rather than just one that would give him a temporary satisfaction. So the Ten Commandments are all about avoiding those things that will bring just a temporary satisfaction so that we can be able to experience a deeper joy and a lasting happiness, a lasting peace. So the reason why we seek to follow those commandments is because of how they help prevent a lot of unnecessary pain and suffering for us and for others, and that they bring the lasting happiness and joy that our hearts really seek, and avoid any of the ways we could fall into any type of fleeting happiness instead. In today's gospel, we hear of how Jesus gets very angry. And it's interesting because this is the angriest Jesus gets in the entire Gospels. He never gets angry when he's going through his passion, his crucifixion, his death. But he gets extremely angry when the temple is turned into a marketplace. This is something that is good for us to meditate and reflect on. Why is it that Jesus gets so angry in this moment versus other moments when all those around him tend to get angry? The difference is Jesus is trying to teach us something about the human emotion of anger versus the deadly sin of wrath. There's this unfortunate idea out there that getting angry is bad, is sinful. The emotion of anger is not sinful, just as the emotion of happiness or the emotion of sadness is not sinful. All of the emotions were given to us for a particular purpose. Now, we can go from an emotion to a place that can lead us into sin. That's a different story. So anger can go from the unsinful that good human emotion, or it can fall into a place of wrath. Wrath is bad. It's one of the seven deadly sins. And the difference between anger and wrath is something called control. When we cross the line from unsinful anger into sinful wrath, it's when we're seeking to control or manipulate someone. Sometimes that could be someone else. Sometimes, ironically, it could even be ourselves in some way. So that's what crosses the line. If there's a place of control, of manipulation, that's what leads to sinful wrath. When one stays in the place of righteous anger, it actually can be a very purifying force. That's why Jesus is angry when he's purifying the temple. He's trying to help us to realize what a powerful force for good righteous anger can be in purifying us as temples of the Holy Spirit or places of evil. Jesus makes the very strong connection in today's gospel of how he is that temple of the Holy Spirit to teach us that all of us are those temples. So evil tries to enter into us as temples of the Holy Spirit, but also tries to enter in to the physical temples as well. Jesus always seeks to use anger to keep that way that evil could seek to defile him as a temple of the Holy Spirit, but also ways of driving out evil from the temple of God, as we hear in the cleansing of the temple today. And just reflect for a moment in your own life. There might be moments where you struggle to make a change in your life, but when you get to a point of being so frustrated, of being so angry, of being so fed up with that thing, that's when you make the change. Literally, your anger leads to making that change that you struggle to make for however long it was. It's like the anger has to get to a certain point before we'll do something about it. Anger, when it's that righteous human emotion, can again be a good thing. We can get angry enough that then we're like, all right, I'm going to hit the workouts and I'm going to push through any sloth or anything that keeps me from discouraging that. I'm going to make that change. I'm going to make the change in diet. I'm going to make the change. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make the change. I'm going to do prayer, etc. We get frustrated enough, fed up enough that we are motivated. Righteous anger, again, is a huge motivating force that can help us to push through and make that difference, that change that we're struggling to do. Or, unfortunately, it crosses again that line when, instead of allowing anger to be a purifying force, it becomes a defiling force. That's why it's such a bad thing when we use curses or other things like that. Because those types of words, those type of phrases, different actions that we can do with our hands, etc., that are curses, those bring about a defilement. Rather than allowing anger to be a purifying force in that moment, it enters into wrath, which leads to further defilement, further profanation, further ways of evil gaining a hold, whether it's in our lives or whether it's in a physical church building as well. And it's again important for us again to preserve the church as that place of encounter of God. That's why sometimes people within this sanctuary will say, hey, Father, can I talk to you? And I'll say, I'm happy to talk to you, but let's go into the narthex or let's go outside. Because I want to preserve this space as a space of encounter of God where people can pray. I love it when people socialize. That's a good thing. But it's a good thing for people to be able to talk to God within this space. But the evil one always wants to introduce noise or other different things to keep us from having those kinds of encounters. Again, it can be subtle sometimes, other ways that the enemy tries to introduce things into a particular space. At every church I've been at, people always ask me, Father, why do you restrict fundraisers or stuff like that? And I always point to this particular gospel passage. I said, if this is the only time Jesus got really mad, he's trying to say, don't turn your churches into marketplaces, okay? So these are good things, again, of realizing how evil tries to infiltrate and influence in different ways. And it's also important for us to realize of how the evil one likes to use the following lie. Man, the people that go to that church, they still sin. They still do bad things. Church doesn't work because people still sin when they go to it. When someone says that to me, I say, yes, St. Albert the Great is full of sinners, and I am one of them. But I also then will say, but if I were to stop going to church, if I were to stop praying, I would sin a whole lot more than I do right now. So while it's true that churches are full of imperfect people, and oftentimes I'll also say, when people say things like that, I'll say, yeah, we're full of sinners, and you're welcome to join us. Always got room for one more sinner, right? It's a good thing, bring more people in. But again, I also try to help people realize it never fails. Whenever someone goes off, when the evil one drives them with some lie, etc., and they go off and they get disconnected from the church, it never fails. Someone will then come back to me and say, Father, things got so much worse. And I say, yes. That's what happens when we get disconnected from God. I know we have struggles, we have temptations, even when we're coming to church and when we're praying, but it gets so much worse when we disconnect ourselves and fall astray from that. So the answer is always to stay within the church, even when we face those struggles, even when we face those doubts, because that's what the evil one always wants to do, defile, to bring impurity, to drive out, etc., if we allow the evil one to do that. This last week, unfortunately, there was an incident that happened in our Adoration Chapel where the evil one tried to bring about, again, inviting in evil into our chapel. Very proud of our parishioner who resisted that evil and drove it out. This is something, again, that has struck me in my heart very much, to invite you today to pray more in our Adoration Chapel. Because if the evil one was trying to muck with our Adoration Chapel, it's because of how God wants us to pray even more in our Adoration Chapel than we do. As I mentioned earlier, we can allow anger to motivate us, to allow us to do a change, to pray more, to invite more of God. Or we can allow it to distance us from our God. It's our choice which way do we allow anger to move in our hearts. I'm praying that we as a community use this as an opportunity for us to spend more time in adoration. And if you struggle with worry, you struggle with anxieties, you struggle with stresses, I'll tell you the best place in the world to go to de-stress is not grabbing a lots of Dr. Pepper and doing a veg out with Netflix, etc. Go into the Adoration Chapel. Spend some time with our Lord. Let him take your stress. Let him take your anxiety. Let him take your worries. And you'll notice a huge difference. I credit Eucharistic adoration for a personal way that the Lord freed me from ways that I used to struggle with depression-type tendencies. And anytime I see it try to creep back, I go back in front of our Lord with whatever worry, anxiety, stress, etc., that's trying to muck with me in that moment, and I let him take it again. And as long as we keep giving those worries, etc., to him in Eucharistic adoration, again, it's such a transformative place. It's such a place for us to unburden. That's why the enemy doesn't want us to go there. So I also invite you, after Mass in our courtyard, there's an opportunity to sign up for Eucharistic adoration time period. My goal from the what happened with this incident is to use it as an opportunity to have perpetual or 24-hour adoration in our Eucharistic chapel. My way of responding to the evil one is, all right, you want to muck with that? all right, game on, we're going to pray more. This is the time when I'm going to take an opportunity to make a push for 24-hour adoration and to move us more and more in that direction. That's the way to respond to evil. And when the evil one is trying to seek to discourage us, we don't do less, we do more. And we fight him with even more prayer than we did before. So I invite us this weekend, as we continue in our Lenten discipline, to give up worry in a deeper way, to be able to allow the Ten Commandments to help us to realize that God wants to bring us a lasting joy, whereas when we don't keep the commandments, they'll just bring fleeting joys, and that we can choose to enter into anger in a righteous way, as a way that leads to our purification, a deeper connection with God, a way of driving out whatever are those vices or things that we personally can struggle with in our lives, and that we can spend time in front of Eucharistic adoration to be able to unburden ourselves before God and to allow God to purify us especially and to keep all of our prayer places pure from any defilement as well. Let us give up worry for Lent.